Everyone, my name is Catherine, if you don't know me, and I'll be reading the Bible for us today. Today we'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 39, so I'll give you some time to find it on your devices, or you can alternatively follow it on the screen up on my left. So Isaiah chapter 39, starting from verse 1. At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses: the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine olive oil, his entire armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." Here ends the reading. I'll now pass it on to Reverend Winston to preach from God's word.
Thanks, Catherine, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to church if you're new. It's great to have you here. And if you need a Bible, you can either QR code it on your phone there. We're looking at two chapters, 38 and 39, or if you like a physical Bible, you can put your hand up and one of the welcome team will hand you a Bible. If you want one, no, QR code it. I do always encourage everyone to have your Bible open, because you'll get a lot more out of it and you can test whether what I'm saying is true or not. We had a workshop Friday night on doctrine, and we called the youth to test what is true, what we should believe or not believe. And we always got to go to the Bible, right, to see whether the preacher is speaking the truth or not. So please have your Bibles open. Okay, all right, so hopefully you're there now. I'm going to pray first. Father God, we come humbly before you, and we pray now as we come to your word, you would teach us, Lord. You would teach us understanding. You teach us what is true, what we should believe, but not just give us knowledge, Lord, but help us, Lord. Change us, transform us, Lord. We pray your word would come alive in us and we would respond to it, in Jesus' name. Amen. So who here feels like the spiritual life, the Christian life, is often like a roller coaster? What I mean is that some seasons you're on a spiritual high, and then some seasons you're on a spiritual low. Up and down, you're up and back down. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Some seasons you feel like God is very close. You're on fire for God, and you love coming to church. You love worshiping God, and you love digging deep into the Bible. And you want to talk to your friends about Jesus. And when you're at church and the preacher is speaking to you, you feel like it's exactly what you need to hear from God. You're so sensitive to what God is saying to you in your life, and you're just soaking it in. You're on a high, spiritual high. But then sometimes you're on a spiritual low. Times when you really don't feel like going to church. You come out to church maybe just because you feel it's, you know, it's the right thing to do, maybe out of duty. That's why some of you might be here. Oh, I should be here. I better go. But your heart maybe doesn't want to be here. Maybe, like, spiritually, like the things you do spiritually is such an effort, or maybe it's just going through the motions. You might do some things like read your Bible and pray, but it seems like just going through the motions. And you're feeling perhaps dry in your spiritual life. And you don't feel that close to God. You're in a spiritual low, and your Christian life can sometimes feel like that. Up, then down. I wonder how you're feeling at this moment. Are you up? Are you down? And I want to say to you that we've all, if you're feeling down and distant from God, we've all felt like that at times, haven't we? And even in times when I've been a pastor of a church, there are times when I have felt spiritually down, when I felt distant from God, and I felt that my prayers were just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down, not feeling that connected to God, and I'm just going through the motions, teaching as faithfully as I can, just going through the grind, trying to do my job, not that close to God. And I share that with you because this is a very real human experience. We go through these struggles in the Christian life, these spiritual ups and spiritual downs. Well, this morning we're looking at Isaiah 38 to 39, and it's really an epilogue of King Hezekiah, his life. And you remember from last week, he's the king who prayed, and when he prayed to God, the army of Assyria was at the gates. And as he prayed to God in humility, in ashes and sackcloth, God came and delivered Judah in that moment. And so that was part of Hezekiah's testimony. And he is, in many ways, a great king in the life of Judah. But he is also, as we'll see in a moment, just a human being. A person like you and me, who goes through spiritual ups and spiritual downs. A man whose faith is at times really confident, but then at other times really weak and shaky. You might have heard of the movie The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Maybe most of you might be too young for that. The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. Well, I've called my sermon today, The Good, the Fool, and the Sad. The Good, the Fool, and the Sad. And really, this is really the structure of my talk. And it's these three aspects of King Hezekiah's life that we see in the book of Isaiah. The Good, the Fool, and the Sad. We've read Isaiah 39, but let me encourage you to go back to Isaiah chapter 38, just one page back. And in this chapter, it recounts a time when Hezekiah was sick. He was ill, and he's dying. Isaiah says to him, "You're dying." So in verse 1, it says, "In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover.'" Now, this might sound a little bit strange, but actually this incident that's taking place right now, this illness and this prayer, it's actually taking place before the event that Pastor Dan preached on last week. So it's before the Assyrian siege that this is taking place. We know what happened. So you know already that he survives this illness. So this is kind of a flashback. And why do I say that it's taking place before? Well, if you just read on ahead a little bit, 38 verse 6, it says there, "And I will deliver you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. All right, so we see that that took place. That already has taken place last week. All right, we saw how that happened. So this incident is before that. And so chapter 38 and the next chapter sort of go together. And so this is all before the Assyrian siege. So we can just sort of put it in context. And what we have here in chapter 38 is really this intimate look into what really is going on in the heart of this king. You know, is he, what we saw last week, this really like faithful, confident in God sort of a guy? Well, he was in that moment, but in this moment we see that he's got a lot of fragility as well. We get this really intimate look at the life of King Hezekiah in this moment. And so Isaiah's telling him, you're going to die. And in response, what is Hezekiah doing? We're told he weeps. He's weeping bitterly. And he prays to God. You know, last week we see that in the midst of this crisis, this, you know, international crisis, he's confident in his prayer. But here, it's a little bit of a different prayer. It's like a desperate prayer. He's, you know, reaching as hard as he can for God to help him, trying to trust in God. And last week, confident. God, it's for your glory, for your name, do this, save us, God. Confident in God. But here, it's an intense, personal type of prayer. And it's in a time of weakness. And isn't it true that we all go through weakness? We all go through times when we struggle. And isn't it true that in those times, when we feel fragile and desperate, that's when our prayers are often most earnest, when we really seek after God, we really want God to help us? Well, Hezekiah is just the same as you and me. He is desperate and he cries out to God. So he says in verse 3, remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So you see what's going on there. It's not a perfect prayer, but it's sort of grasping, right? He's sort of grasping. You know, I've tried to live the right life, the good life for you, God. I've been devoted to you. I've tried to give you my whole heart to you. God, save me. Save me from this illness. Please don't let me die in this moment. And so we see in verses 5 to 6, the answer that Isaiah gives him. God answers through Isaiah in verses 5 to 6. And he says, basically, you know, I've heard your prayer, Hezekiah, and I'm going to answer it. And we're going to add 15 more years to your life. So that's pretty cool. I will deliver you from this illness, and I will deliver the city as well while I'm at it. So it's such a powerful answer to prayer, isn't it? Answer from God. And I think this answer in this to Hezekiah's prayer here would have given him the confidence that he needed when he was facing the Assyrian army that had just like besieged right up to the gates, you know, building these ramps ready to take down the walls and this huge army. And yet he confidently, in humility, goes to God. And he's got in the background, well, God delivered me before. He's going to deliver me again. And I remember he said that, God, you're going to deliver me from the Assyrians. And so he goes to God. And I think that's what's giving him so much confidence in that moment. So what I want us to do now, stay in chapter 38 and go to verses 9 to 20. Because 9 to 20, we have a sort of a reflection from Hezekiah. What he was going through in this moment as he was sick and praying and asking God for help, and how God delivered him. And this is his reflection, sort of like a song, if you like, of what was going on. And so what do we see? It's worth digging in here because it really shows us his humanity. It really shows us the real struggle for faith that Hezekiah was going through as he faced death. So have a look there in your Bibles, verses 10 to 11. He's saying, you know, I was still young in the prime of my life, God, and yet I'm going to die. So young, Lord, and I'm not going to be able to see the land of the living anymore. And so you can see his fragility, right? And it leads to verses 12 to 14. And you see there this reflection of these images of despair, where he's feeling like his life is about to be gone. It's going to be over soon. Like a tent, we're told, that is pulled down and taken away. It was there, sturdy, giving shelter, but then it's gone now. And his life is going to be like that. Verse 13, he thinks that God is like a lion who broke his bones. And it's like, I'm going to get crushed. It's going to be all over soon. And we see in verse 14 this desperation. You know, my eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. So we see this reflection of how desperate he was, how needy he was before God, and he's just reaching out for God. You can sense the despair and the fear even. Well, Hezekiah is like you and me, isn't he? The human struggle is, it's real. The struggle for faith, it's real. You know, in times of trouble, the struggle is real. But then we come to the next part of his reflection, verses 15 and 17. And he remembers this moment when God delivers him from the illness, and he doesn't die, and he reflects on God's goodness to him. And I love particularly verse 17. I have a look at me there. It says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. And he can look back, right? And he can say, for me to go through all of this struggle and reach out for God, this bitter time when I'm desperate, well, it was ultimately for my good, for my welfare. And, you know, it brought me closer to God. It gave me more confidence in God. And he wonderfully reflects in the next bit how, you know, God has, you know, forgiven him of whatever it was, and God really looks after him with love. And so he goes on to say, in your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. So I don't know if you get that image. It's like, you know, there's something before you. You don't want to see it anymore, so you grab it and you toss it behind your back, right? It's kind of like God does that. He takes our sin and he tosses it behind his back. Not going to pay attention to that anymore. I'm not going to acknowledge that anymore. And that's how Isaiah feels. Your sin, let me grab it and chuck it over there. I'm not going to pay attention to it anymore. And it's like, this is a beautiful picture of forgiveness, isn't it? It's like, you know, God grabbing our sin and just tossing it deep into the ocean where it's going to be buried forever, never to be taken up ever again. It's gone forever. And it's a beautiful picture of the gospel. And this is what Isaiah is experiencing here. The goodness of God, the love of God, and he's grateful and joyful. And as you read on, there's singing and there's music. And so this is the good of Hezekiah. We see this man who, when it comes to a time of need, of crisis, he's a man who ultimately turns to God. How many of us in times of need have thought, maybe I don't want to turn to God? I know there are some friends of mine who grew up in church, shared so much faith, but then when trouble came, when a crisis came into their life, they didn't turn to God. They turned away from God. They turned bitter towards God. But here we have Hezekiah in his time of trouble, turns to God and lays his burdens before God and asks God, the only one who can answer him, to answer his prayer. And so I think, a good thing to see in Hezekiah. Although he is fragile in so many ways, but when it comes to the crunch, he goes to God. Now let's turn to chapter 39. We've seen the good, and now we're going to see the full and the sad. So what we see here is that Hezekiah does something very foolish. And this time we see his reflection again, and his reflection is very sad. So if you're here last week, you would have heard Kevin Lee's children's talk. It was a great children's talk. Good summary of what was read to us before by Catherine. So I'm going to just quickly go through it. You know, so he, after his illness and recovery, the Babylonians, they send envoys to visit Hezekiah, and they give him a letter and a gift. Now, we don't really know what's in the letter, but I think it's really like a political move, because a little bit of background. At this time, the Assyrians were the superpower and the Babylonians were like a vassal state under Assyrian rule. And so that whole time, Babylonians were under the rule of Assyrians, and they're like waiting for a moment when they would try and rise and get back what they wanted to get back and rule and maybe go further than what they wanted to go as well. And so I think this is perhaps kind of like a political ploy here. And they hear about Hezekiah. He was sick. He was going to die. But then he survived. He came back to life. And so, hey, I heard you're good now. And you know, this letter probably like, it's great. And here's a gift as well. And let's try and be friends, you know. And maybe one day we'll make an alliance and we'll take out the Syrians together. I'm not sure if that's what's happening. Let's not speculate too much. But you can sort of tell that there's this buddying up. There's a letter, there's gift. And these envoys trying to say, hey, it's good that you're well. It's good that you're back and good. But if you know anything about the nation of Babylon, if you read enough of the Bible, what does Babylon mean? You know, all throughout the Bible, even in the book of Revelation, the word Babylon is like a symbol of the ultimate enemy against God and his people. And so, you know, you're reading this, and what should be happening is these alarm bells. What is Hezekiah doing here? Why is he showing all the treasures of the kingdom to this evil nation, Babylon? And it's, you know, astoundingly foolish. And he shows the envoys of Babylon all the treasures of his kingdom, we're told. The silver, the gold, the spices, the fine olives, his entire armory and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Like, why would you do that, right? I didn't even show everything that I have to even my friends. And yet this evil nation will have a look at all the things that I have, the riches that we have. What a fool, right? What a fool. And Isaiah, the prophet, asked Hezekiah, well, where did these guys come from? And Hezekiah says, oh, they came from this far country. You know, he's a little bit defensive. This far country. Just tell him, Babylon. No, this far country. It's far away. They're kind of irrelevant. Don't worry about them. But they're from this far country, right? And Isaiah says, verse 5, and tells Hezekiah, well, what you've done has been really foolish. Because there'll come a day when the Babylonians are going to come a day in the future sometime when they're going to come and, you know, they're going to come and attack the city. And actually what they're going to do is they're going to breach the city. Unlike last week when, you know, they got pushed away. Well, this time they're going to breach the city. They're going to tear the walls down and they're going to breach the palace and they're going to take everything. It's all going to be stripped away and taken back to Babylon, he tells Hezekiah. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And even some of your descendants are going to be carried away to serve the king of Babylon. Hezekiah the fool. Now, we don't know everything there, but what do you think the right response should have been for Hezekiah at this moment? As he hears the prophecy from Isaiah, how should he have responded at that point? You know, when you've done something wrong, and maybe your parents have said, hey, why did you do that? That was very wrong of you, right? And what's the right response at that point? Right? All the parents know, and nodding their heads, smiling, I know. And kids as well, you know, you've been there. Right? What's the right response, you know? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. That's the right thing to say. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. But what do we see in verse 8? How does Hezekiah respond? He says, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good. Hezekiah replied, for he thought, there will be peace and security in my lifetime. So he should have said sorry, but he said, oh, that's good. Can you imagine that? That's why I say it's sad. It's sad because he didn't get it. And it's sad because I think it's just such a missed opportunity. You know, he was such a good king in so many ways, but this is a very sad moment in his life where he really didn't get it. That his words that he received from Isaiah should have been rebuking to him. And yet he goes, oh, that's good. It's a sad ending to this epilogue of Hezekiah's life. So here we have it, Hezekiah, the good, the fool, and the sad. What do we make of this, and how should we respond? And what we've seen here is that Hezekiah is in many ways just like you and me, an up and down person, flawed in so many ways. You know, he's someone who is at times like you and me, so self-interested. Just caring about things from my own perspective. It's good because I'm going to be all right. The disaster's not going to happen in my lifetime. Don't worry about it. I'm good. It's good. It's good news for me. And we're the same in many ways, right? We look at things from our own perspective. We're self-interested. And when things are like no trouble for us, it's okay. But when there's trouble, then we're like help. And we're like Hezekiah again there as well. Please help us in that moment. So here's an up and down person like you and me. And sometimes we're the same. Sometimes we're good. Our faith is good. Sometimes we're a fool as well. And we step into foolishness. And God has told us many times, that's foolish to do that. And yet we still do it. And sometimes our prayers and our response to God is sad because we just don't get it as well. We are just like Hezekiah in so many ways. So, what do we do here? What do we do with this? How do we see this? Firstly, Hezekiah's life, what I want us to see, just put it in context of the whole story of Isaiah, is that Hezekiah's little epilogue here is really a reflection of the nation of Israel and Judah themselves. Because what is Israel and Judah like anyway? they're up and down all the time as well, aren't they? There are times when they're so faithful, so devoted, and yet there's other moments where they're so quickly, you know, idolatrous, throwing away the law of the Lord and, you know, unfaithful to God and making alliances with other nations, trusting in the city of man rather than the city of God. And so we see Israel is just the same. They have all these moments where they're really authentic, repenting before God, and then there's moments when they're deeply sinful. And is this not what the history of Israel is, not just in the book of Isaiah, but over and over and over again, all throughout the Bible, from beginning all the way through into the New Testament? Up and down, up and down, up and down. Hezekiah, the kings are the same. Up and down. Good kings, bad kings, up and down. And what this should do to us as we think about the judgment that's given to Hezekiah, one day Babylon will come and he's going to desolate the city and take away all its treasures, and your children, your descendants are going to serve the king of Babylon. It should push us forward and ask us, we need something better. We need a better solution. We need a better king. We need a better city, because this city is not going to last. And that should push us to Jesus and say, we need you, Jesus. We need that city that is going to last forever, where you, God, are going to be the king who sits on the throne forever, and you will rule with justice and righteousness forever. We need a better king and we need a better city. But the other thing I want us to see this morning is that we are like Israel and we are like Hezekiah. We are fragile as well. We're up and down. We have these moments of, you know, good faith and moments of, you know, utter idolatry as well. And my prayer to all of us is to really see that this side of heaven, although we might struggle, and although we won't be perfect this side of heaven, I want us to see very clearly as we push forward to Jesus that God has given us help. He's given us hope for eternity, but he's given us help in this life, where even though we won't be perfect, but what God has given us is help so that we can grow. We can become more consistent in our faith, in our walk with God. He's given us his son Jesus. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the church to spur us on. He's given us his word to teach us what is right and what is wrong and how we should stay on track. He's given us everything that we need to grow, to become more faithful, to live the life that God wants us to live. So I want to encourage us, don't give up. You might be sitting here and you might be thinking, I'm so far away from God. Where are you, God? And maybe you can't even remember the last time when you really prayed. Like really prayed. Not just go through the motions of like saying grace around the table when others are saying grace, but you on your knees before God, really praying and having a conversation with God and saying, God, this is me. I'm struggling. This is what's really going on in my life, God. I need you. Help me. Draw near to me, God. I want to say to you, God wants to help you. And he's given us everything that we need to help you. So don't believe in the lie from the devil where you think God doesn't love you anymore, where you think, how could God possibly love you? That you're no longer deserving of God's love. God says, no, I do love you. And in your time of need, don't turn away from God, but like Hezekiah, turn to God. I think it's encouraging that when God looks and gives an assessment of Hezekiah's life, he says this, 2 Chronicles 29 verses 1 to 2. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. And he says this, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. So even though Hezekiah messed up, his faith was wavering, he was shaky, and yet the assessment of Hezekiah was that he was a king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. When it came to the crunch, he did pray in humility. He did bring God's deliverance upon the people of Judah. So let me encourage you, turn to God in all your struggles. God will look at your life, and what counts is, you know, not where you are now, but where you are heading. Where are you heading in your faith? What are you doing? What's happening in your heart? So let me encourage you to turn to God and bring whatever struggles, whatever doubts you might have in your life, and put your trust in Jesus. I'm going to give you a few moments now to do a bit of reflection. You know where you're at with God. And I know there are some of you here and you have hardly any sort of relationship with God. And the reason why I know that, because I've been there. And the size of this room, I know some of you are there right now. And so I really want to encourage you this moment, just for a few moments, go to God. Let us all come to God. Bring whatever's going on in our heart. Let's draw near to God. And then in a moment, I'm going to close in prayer for us. We thank you for all that we've seen and how it points so much to our own lives. We see our own sin in these stories. We see our own struggles. We see our own unfaithfulness. We see the ways in how we often wander away from you. But we also see you, God. You're a God who's so faithful. You're a God who restores and delivers. And you're a good and loving God. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. And so, God, we bring all of our needs before you, especially all of our spiritual needs. God, help us to see the things in our life that are hindering us from drawing near to you. You know what they are, Lord. You know the attitudes of our heart. You know the sin in our lives. You know the things that we hold on to that we don't let you take from us, Lord. You know all those things, and all those things are affecting our relationship with you. Please help us, God. Take them away, God, for our own good. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might draw near to you, we might enjoy you, and our faith might come alive, that we might truly know you and walk with you all the days of our life, Lord. Please help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.